Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe. From somewhere deep in cyberspace, hunting for an internet connection, here's your host, Charlie Harger.
Well, hi, and welcome to TechNet Radio. Charlie Harger here. Hey, listen, this is one of those weeks in America where a lot of people are taking the week off. So that means it's not going to be as big of a show as we normally do. It's a 4th of July holiday in America where we celebrate Independence Day here. Elsewhere around the world, you may just be having a normal work week, but think of your friends out here and in Redmond, Washington, as we enjoy our day off. Anyway, I think today's show is going to be quite interesting to people who are interested in what the heck software developers do, and we couldn't have gotten a better guy to talk about it. Michael Murphy will be speaking with Mike Benkovich. He's your programmer's programmer, having developed small and large-scale application systems for over 20 years. That's two decades. Technologies ranging from Oracle to SQL to Enterprise Library. Oh yeah, Benkovich knows it. He has a bunch of websites we'll also point you to towards the end of the show. In any case, let's head on out to Michael Murphy as he speaks with Mike Benkovich here on TechNet Radio.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. My name is Michael Murphy, and I want to welcome to the program Mike Benkovich. Mike, how you doing today?
Not too bad.
Living large there in Minnesota?
Minnesota is a wonderful place. Sort of like technology, it's great when it works.
And unlike technology, it doesn't work from December through March.
Yeah, I think most people avoid it, but I'll tell you this, you know, it gets kind of a bad rap. But last year, around New Year's, I mean, it got so warm we cut a hole in the lake and went swimming.
Really? So it must have been 35.
No, actually it was about 20 below, but you know, the thing is, the water is actually warmer than the air. So you bring together the right elements. It's actually a lot of fun. You can imagine what those elements might be.
For about 30 seconds before hypothermia sets in.
There might have been a bar involved, so, yes.
Or more than one bar. So, guys, Mike has – I think of Mike as really the developer's developer. And you may be thinking to yourself, what's a developer doing on TechNet Radio? But the reality is that IT pros and devs work together, right? We've got to support each other. And Mike's got, Mike's got 20 years of experience in the IT industry. He's co-authored books. He's an ASP.NET, C++, C# developer, and a lot of other things too. And I mean, to give you some sense of the history. And the history, I'm making you sound like a relic. But to give you some sense of the history with Benko here, the guy, well, in addition to a couple of years on the Microsoft Across America MSDN team, where he was delivering developer-focused content to developers across the country, if we go back a little bit in Mike's life, I want to start, Mike, with the story you told me about you actually re-engineered the system interfaces for 7 miles of conveyor belt in a 1 million square foot warehouse. Is that true?
That's absolutely the truth, unvarnished.
And what was that project like? First of all, when was that project? How long ago was that?
This project goes back a good 15 years. I mean, you're talking back early 90s. And technology at that time was mini computers. You were talking about the language C being very big because you could get very low. You could do a lot of really powerful things with it if you knew what you were doing. And I was working for a retailer that was basically doing direct sales, direct marketing. They happen to own one of the largest business intelligence data warehouses in the world, and we built an entire system for their actual physical warehouse that was over 1 million square feet in size. And you know, one of the things that I did was to re-engineer the interface to the conveyor system hardware. So we're in a lot of low level. Programmable controller logic type stuff, and the interesting thing was that you would fight traffic to get down to the warehouse so you could actually do your work, and you leave Monday morning at 6 in the morning, and you get to the warehouse about 2 in the afternoon, and you work until midnight when the last shift went home, and you know, from midnight until about 2 o'clock, you could go ahead and actually test your systems. And you might find bugs, and you might find errors, you might find issues and whatever, but the thing was that you had to, you know, until 4 o'clock when the next shift came in. So about 2:30, we'd head back to the hotel, and 6:30, they'd call us up, wake us up, and get us back in the warehouse to support other systems. It turned into you know, quite an adventure of working a lot of hours. I ended up putting over 106 hours in 1 week on that project.
And did you get it done in a week?
We actually delivered it. We actually implemented it, put it into production. It was one of those things where it's like on time, on budget. Yeah, only on budget if you don't count the hours, but we did it on the time frame that they wanted. And the interesting thing was we were salaried, so yeah, we were on budget.
Right on. So, I mean, that's certainly something that everybody in IT has in common, I think. When it's project time, you know, you get no sleep. You're there. You have to be there when nobody else is there to do your most critical work. And that's just the reality. Now, so that's 15 years ago. And so you've got a breadth and depth of experience in the industry. And then you came out of the working industry into the Microsoft Across America MSDN team. And
yeah, that was about 3 years ago or 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was 3 years ago. If I'm not mistaken, that we were working together, and you were contracting, right? You were contracted to the team.
I was a contractor to Microsoft.
To Microsoft, and you were out there presenting this stuff, right? Can you talk a little bit about kind of the experiential gap and what's different about living in demo world and then going out into the real world and actually trying to implement some of this stuff?
What I think you're saying, Michael, is that you know, I spent 2 years working in a team, the MSDN events team. So I was the developer side. You were doing the IT pro side. And you know, one of the things that struck me is just, you know, just the differentiation that I had never really made between the two different areas of technology, and that where you're out building the environment in which we run, you know, I'm out there trying to figure out how we can get around you to actually implement and deploy stuff, and you're always the one who's telling me no.
And but, I'm trying to figure out how to keep my system so secure from your code.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm trying to write secure code that'll run in your systems, you know, and it's like, you know, who took the peanut butter out of the chocolate? But the, you know, since January when I left the team, I've been out in the industry again, and being a consultant guy, actually I've implemented over 6 different systems using the technologies, using these things that I've been out preaching about, you know, talking about evangelism of, you know, using .NET 2.0 and how great it is, and SQL 2005, and all the wonderful things it can do. And I had been a part of the launch of the product and everything else, but now I'm actually using this stuff. And in the process of using it, you get into things that you don't expect, where you know, those canned demos that you do, you know, from city to city, and it's always, you know, pretty much, okay, I go out and I repeat the same thing over and over, and I know what's going to happen. In the real world, you get to the point where I'm going to implement this and deploy it. For instance, we had one application where we're doing it was a Visual Basic .NET 2.0 application using Click Once deployment, but we're deploying to 15,000 end users. And we were building a web service to be able to support this. And going through the process of making that firewall and all the IIS settings actually work for the application and also for the customer was a little bit more than what I had expected.
And is that because, you know, the reality of the demo environment, when we try to show off the potential for what the technology can do, we create a very limited environment that's geared to supporting that functionality. But then when you get out into a customer site, you've got lots of other things going on. Can you point to a specific consideration maybe, or a specific a conflict or dependency that existed in the environment that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily run into just out of the box?
Well, one of the things that you run into And if you look at the difference between what I did for the time I was doing the MSDN events and now out in the real world, in the MSDN events, we were building environments that we knew what was going to happen. And it was very predictable from the presenter's perspective of, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to build this, I'm going to build this, I'm going to build that. And by the way, I would log in as the admin account or an admin rights account so that I had rights to do whatever I needed. In the real world, if you do that, you are opening yourself up to so many possible attacks and things like that, that you really shouldn't and can't do that. And so you throttle it back to be the minimal requirements needed to do the job. And identifying what those things are it can be a real challenge. Fortunately, for instance, on this quick once deployment thing, we had the requirements or the permission calculator that runs from the wizard where we were able to go out and identify that we needed the file rights and we needed a couple other things in order to make the application work. And the cool thing was that the tools that were there really saved us a lot of time. But, you know, and that comes back to why do people go to these events? Why do they, you know, show up and go to the MSDN events or the TechNet events or whatever? And it is to understand what's possible with the new technologies. And when I say the possible, I mean, you know, why is it that we, you know, that people will invest and give up 4 hours of their life and of their time and of their billable time, of their work time, or of their personal time to understand what's possible? And I think that that comes back to if you don't understand that and if you don't pay attention, you're going to end up on the short end of the stick. And in a very serious way, for instance, we were building a VB application that was doing some basic you know, lookups and whatever. The 2.0 framework does very, very nicely, very elegantly. It's a pretty easy thing to put together. But in previous technology, you had to write a lot of code. And I had a couple developers that hadn't worked with the new technology, and so they were writing code the way that they normally would have, and it ended up taking two developers 2 days to build something that works out to, what, 32 hours? And I came in and took a look at it, and yeah, they had lots of code, and it sort of worked, but it's sort of kludgy. And I showed them that in 2.0 you can actually use a property, and in 10 minutes I did the exact same thing they had done. And so the fact that they didn't know that they could do that, they didn't know what was possible, cost them, you know, that 32 hours.
And I know, Mike, from my perspective as a TechNet presenter, right, I mm-hmm. consider it my job to put those kinds of tools into the hands of the working IT pro every day. And I think you're right. I think that so much of our time we spend just trying to put out fires, just trying to plow through and get done what's right in front of us that has to get done, that we don't always take the time to discover the possibilities, to leverage the resources that are available out there that can really make our lives a lot easier.
It was one of the things that I said, you know, that I promoted it at our team meetings, that when people come in to our events, you know, I ask them, I say, why are you here? Are you here for, you know, ASP.NET 2.0? Are you here for VB.NET? Are you here for the new BizTalk? Are you here for the new report services? And when I ask how many people are here for the free training, you know, about half the hands go up. And then I tell them, we're not training. We're not trainers. There's going to be no training today. What I'm going to show you is what's possible. You know, and it's almost startling to them in the fact that, you know, you come to these things to see how you can learn about what you can do with the technology if you choose to. And you know, the whole idea is that you leave there saying, I want to invest in this particular technology or that technology more so than I'm going to, you know, teach you everything you need to know about how to write an encryption routine or secure your data replication process. And I think that you know, that only by staying up with what's possible in technology can you, you know, effectively remain competitive in the industry.
I mean, that's one of the goals for every technology pro, I think, just keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that the TechNet and the MSDN events, all the Microsoft Across America events, are great insight into what Microsoft is doing. And those are free events. They happen all around the country. Now, you're not doing that anymore, right?
Not at the moment.
Because you have a consulting business of your own, and mm-hmm. you're out in the marketplace every day. So let's talk about what you're seeing out in the marketplace these days, regarding adoption of technology and challenges in the adoption. What are you seeing people doing? What are the challenges that they're faced with in the execution of that? And how can we as developer or IT pros work through those problems?
So what is it that we can do to understand what's going on in the real world versus, you know, what...
Well, you said yourself in the last, since January, you've deployed 5 projects. What kind of projects have you been working on?
I've actually developed a variety of things. We built a data warehouse using SQL 2005, using all the BI tools and integration services, which is an incredibly productive tool that replaces the old DTS. I built ASP.NET applications in both VB and C Sharp, and I've written a good chunk of that code myself. I've also had the good fortune to work on some click-once deployment, rich client applications that they get into how do you deploy an application out to 15,000 users that is not a web-based application, that they can connect online to a web service, which we built, and download additional resources. In the real world, what you see is that a lot of times the standards and the requirements of the company are going to drive things that you don't expect, and so you have to be able to adapt to those needs and make the best choices you can.
Well, let's look at something specific. Since you've been working, I know you have a depth of knowledge on SQL. I know you created, I think, 2 webcast series on SQL, didn't you? One on business intelligence?
One was called SQL Masterclass, which was talking about what's possible with SQL 2005, and it really covers everything from integration services and reporting services all the way through the new features of SQL 2005's engine. And then I did a second series on business intelligence where we really looked at how analysis services can help you build the tool set. I mean, just the simplification from 2000 to 2005 to get into do data mining, which is really, everyone out there is collecting these mounds of information, all this data. The relational database turns that data into information, and then you use the analysis services to turn that information into knowledge. Difference being information you can get basic rudimentary reports, but knowledge tells you more the nature of the business, and then you can apply the data mining to turn that knowledge into wisdom.
And both of those webcast series are available at microsoft.com/webcasts, right?
They're available there. They're also available from my I've got a resource website for people who are interested called BenkoTips, BenkoTips.com. And I've got the full series listed there as well as webcast series by other MSDN presenters.
Good.
So like Bill Steele's Soup to Nuts webcast series is there as well as Jacob Cinnamon and a lot of the other MSDN guys who've done these webcast series. I've tried to maintain a place where people can get information about how to really use the products.
Okay, so at Benko, B-E-N-K-O,
tips.com,
yep. Tips, T-I-P-S, right?
Yep.
BenkoTips.com. There's links to all of those webcast series that you and the other MSDN guys have done and information on SQL. Now, SQL is a place where the IT pro and the dev really cross lines a lot, and certainly in small shops, small to medium-sized businesses, the IT pro and the dev can wear the same hat.
I think when you say the IT pro and the developer cross paths, and you think about the term DBA, mm-hmm. I mean, DBA, database administrator, means I manage the database thing. And that I think really falls into 2 flavors. One is the infrastructure DBA, and the other is the application DBA. And where my focus has always been on the application DBA, the infrastructure DBA, I think, falls more into your realm of,
correct.
How do we set the file sizes? How do we do our striping and our mirroring? How do we put the transaction log on a separate spindle than the data so that we can make sure we get the best performance? I think that that's sort of what you're talking about.
So let me ask you then, what are you seeing in the marketplace in terms of SQL 2005 adoption and how people are leveraging the new feature sets in 2005? What's really important to people out there today?
One of the things
or what new in SQL 2005 is what people are really exploiting?
The business intelligence tool set, which is completely rewritten for 2005, is driving a lot of adoption beyond what I've seen in the past, in part because it's much easier to go out and design a cube. There's an IntelliCube wizard that you can walk through that will actually help automate creating, moving data from either a transactional system or a dimensional model into something that you can really use. I think there's also one thing that I think is going to make a big difference is integration services. It's a lot easier to build complex, scalable, very performant systems that before required a lot of code to do the same kind of things. It's almost like we're getting out of the assembly language programming of DTS jobs into something that is easier for more people to get into and take advantage of. The tool sets, the designers are just a huge benefit to putting these systems together.
So business intelligence and integration services, those are both big deals.
I think those are going to be really big deals. If you look at the CLR integration of the database engine and some of the new data types, particularly XML, there's a lot more native support of XML inside of SQL 2005 that wasn't there before. That I know of a couple clients in particular that were doing their own parsing of the XML. They'll be able to very significantly take advantage of these features to provide new indexing and sorting and searchability of that data.
Okay, interesting. Mike, let me ask you one last question before we finish up here.
Okay.
If I were to ask you, what are three things that every IT pro, every network administrator, every help desk guy, what are three things that every IT pro should know in order to better support their devs, their developers, moving into the 21st century?
What I think is going to be one of the key things is the way that we work together is understanding we're all on the same team. And we're all trying to accomplish goals that the business sets. And a lot of times I think the developer feels that the IT pro is there to tell them no and how can I work around it, and then I'll tell them what I did and they'll have to implement it because it's mission critical. And by the way, you end up not working together but against each other. I think that one of the key things is that we are on the same team. We're trying to accomplish the same goals. And there's a number of new things in like, for instance, in team systems that lets us work closer together. I'm excited about the system architecture where I can go out and take your logical data center and deploy my application to it, and it'll tell me whether or not I'm hitting your rules or not.
Really?
And I think that the tools like that that make it, simplify the communications between what we're doing and what you guys are supporting and trying to run. The operational environment of these systems that we're building, it's getting easier to build systems, so there's going to be more systems to support. How can we make them secure and performant and scalable? Second thing I think that IT pros need to know, where the first one was that we're all on the same team. The second is that, IT pros or developers are looking for ways to take advantage of things that you guys have got. And if you've got a good way to build, a scalable replication system by diving into the database or into the clustering of the IIS server, all the better, because that's something then that I don't have to worry about. And I think that, just maintaining communications is going to be key. How can we work together to meet our business's needs?
All right, great. Well, Mike, we are just about out of time here, so I want to let you know I really appreciate your time. It was great talking to you again, and I'm sure I'll run into you soon. I'm sure I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for being with us today.
All right, thank you, Michael.
Michael Murphy and Mike Benkovich here on TechNet Radio. Again, if you want to get more information about Mike Benkovich, his website is BEKNOTIPS.com, BenkoTips.com. Has a list of conferences where he'll be speaking, stuff like that. Well, that is our show for today. Many people are taking the day off. We'll have a full show for you next week, including the return of Robert Scoble. For now, I'm Charlie Harger, and this is TechNet Radio.
Thanks for listening to TechNet Radio. Give us your thoughts on our new listener line at 1-877-814-6506. And remember, we want to hear what you want to hear, so drop us a line at tnradio@microsoft.com.